President Hinckley, I feel that I can speak for the saints throughout the world, that we were profoundly stirred by your prophetic charge to move the work forward with greater energy. We pledge our lives and our obedience to accomplish that purpose. While teaching at BYU in 1978, Brother Dennis Rasmussen applied and was selected to study at the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. In the opening session, as he gave his name and university, Rabbi Muffs boomed, "You are the Mormon. Do you pay a full tithing?" "Yes," he answered. "Do you pay it with a joyful heart?" "Yes," he said. "I believe," the rabbi said, "that joy is the essence of religion. I am working on a book about joy. There is nothing more fundamental to religious living than joy." Brother Rasmussen responded, "There is a passage in the Book of Mormon. Adam fell that man might be, and man is that he might have joy." Rabbi Muffs was profoundly touched and exclaimed, "That is a text I have searched for all my life, and now I find it in the Book of Mormon." Turning to Brother Rasmussen, he said, "Say it again, but not so fast." As he repeated the familiar words, the rabbi's eyes glowed in appreciation of this great truth he understood but had not heard so succinctly expressed. How important it is to know the purpose of our existence. Man is that he might have joy, and that joy will come to us as we keep God's commandments. Last February, I saw this joy personified as I accompanied the missionaries in Santiago, Chile, to visit some of their converts. At the Basuare home, 8-year-old twin boys, Nicholas and Ignacio, met us at the door, dressed in white shirts and ties just like missionaries. Their father had been baptized 3 weeks earlier, and the following week, he baptized his wife and sons. We talked of their conversion. They shared their feelings of love for the missionaries and the joy they were experiencing in living the gospel and keeping the commandments. They proudly showed us the picture of the Santiago Temple displayed in their living room, a symbol of their goal to become an eternal family 1 year from the date of their baptism. I asked Nicholas if he would like to be a missionary when he grew up. He answered yes, and we shook hands on the promise that he would prepare for the day. Then I asked Ignacio the same question. He hesitated and replied, "I'm not sure I can make that promise. I'm only 8 years old." I persisted. "Nicholas made the promise. Wouldn't you like to do the same?" He still hesitated and said, "I don't know if I could be ready." I could see I was in over my head, so I said, "Perhaps you better talk this over with your father." He went to his father, who took him in his arms and said, "Ignacio, Jesus was a missionary. He walked the streets like Elder Sheets and his companion and made the people happy by teaching them to keep the commandments. Wouldn't you like to be like Jesus?" "Yes, Papi, I would." "Do you think if we work together, you can be ready to be a missionary when you were 19 years old?" "I think so." "Wouldn't you like to make the promise to Elder Mickelson you will do that?" He came to me and we shook hands to confirm the promise. I marveled that this young father, a convert of just 3 weeks, could be so sensitive in helping his family follow the Savior, and how he emulated the missionaries in teaching his son. Their goal of becoming an eternal family will surely be reached under the guidance of this faithful father. Since the beginning of creation, such family happiness has been central to our Heavenly Father's plan. Having been cast out of the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve began to multiply and replenish the earth. As their family increased, they called upon the Lord for help. He gave them commandments and told them to teach them to their children. These eternal laws were reiterated to Moses on Sinai, summed up by the Savior in the two great commandments, and repeated to Joseph Smith in a revelation known as the Law of the Church. We also must teach these commandments to our children. Our happiness in this life and joy in the future as eternal families depends on how well we live them. I believe we can teach the Ten Commandments to our children in a positive way, so they will reflect the higher law the Savior has given us. Number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Teach them that God lives, that he really does exist, and that he is the literal father of our spirits. We are created in his image. We have all of his attributes in embryo. He loves us and wants us to be like him. He wants us to communicate with him. Teach them to pray. 2, thou shalt not bow to any graven image. Our Father in heaven must come first. Nothing in this world can take his place. Teach your children to recognize his hand in all things, to respect and honor him. Show them how to worship him through selfless service to others. Worship him in family prayer and family home evening. We fail to worship him when we give preeminence to sports, academics, entertainment, wealth, vanity, or anything else of this world. 3, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Prepare your children to take upon themselves the name of Christ through the covenant of baptism. When we make this covenant, we become known as his children and promise to keep his covenants and commandments. When we break the promises and covenants we make to him and do not repent, we take his name in vain. 4, thou shalt honor the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Teach your children to set apart 1/7 of their time to learn of him, to take their minds from the burdens of daily work and to remember him. As we dedicate this time to him, it concentrates our hearts and our minds on the real purpose of our existence and takes us out of the world. It is a day to become as he is, to worship him, and to minister to others as he did. We don't need rules for the Sabbath day when we understand and live its purpose. 5, honor thy father and mother. Teach your children obedience. Train them up in the way they should go. Our children learn to obey their Father in heaven through honoring, respecting, and obeying their earthly parents. Teach them family ethics and establish the parameters of their conduct. The Lord gave the children of Israel the promise that their days would be long upon the land the Lord had given them. The same promise is valid today. For them it was the land of Canaan. For us it is eternal life with our families. 8, thou shalt not kill. We are created in the image of God. The union of the flesh with the spirit can bring us a fullness of joy. Teach your children to respect the sanctity of human life, to revere it and cherish it. Human life is the precious stepping stone to eternal life, and we must jealously guard it from the moment of conception. 7, thou shalt not commit adultery. Teach your children that our bodies are temples of God, wherein the Spirit of God can dwell. Teach them the sacred nature of the family, the beauty of marriage, and the godlike nature of procreation, which our Father in heaven has given us. We enter into a partnership with him in the creation of life. This power must be respected, protected, and exercised only within the bonds of marriage. It is a celestial power that, if abused, will be taken away. 8, thou shalt not steal. Teach your children to be honest and to respect that which belongs to others, especially that which belongs to our Father in heaven. Teach them by example to pay a full tithing and give generous offerings. As they stamp their lives with honesty, they will be filled with the Spirit and power of God. Teach them the joy of giving and sharing. 9, thou shalt not bear false witness. Teach your children to always tell the truth, to tell things as they really are, and to build, to find the good in others, and to be positive and complimentary. Truth is more precious than any earthly possession. Truth is the essence of our existence. As we tell the truth, our confidence will wax strong in the presence of God and our fellow man. 10, thou shalt not covet. We must love our children and teach them they are children of a heavenly Father who loves them. As they feel our love, they will feel his love and will be grateful for their good name and the name of Christ which they bear. As they feel our love and the love of their heavenly Father, they will feel no need for the possessions of others. Help them to measure personal progress and not compare themselves to others. Teach them to love others and to rejoice with their achievements. As we keep the Ten Commandments, we express our love to God. And with the active application of these eternal principles, we express our love to our fellow men. These are eternal laws of happiness that, if followed, will lead us back to our Father in heaven. I pray that we may be able to teach them by example and precept. May we all feel the joy the Baswati family felt as they came to know the truth of the gospel and are now teaching the commandments to their children. With a positive understanding of the commandments, our children will have a greater desire to follow them and a better comprehension of the power of the atonement for forgiveness when they make mistakes. As they understand his sacrifice for us, they will repent and go forward with a perfect brightness of hope knowing that Christ will pay for their sins if they follow him. May we teach and live the commandments so that together with our families, we may fill the measure of our creation and obtain the joy our Father in heaven desires for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.